I would like to express a warm welcome to all of you. My name, for those I haven't had the chance yet to speak with, my name is Christian Alting von Geusau. I am the president and rector of the International Theological Institute, and it is my great joy to welcome all of you here today. First of all, our distinguished speakers and all our other participants. We have quite an impressive listing of speakers today, and I would probably spend most of the morning introducing each of the speakers to you individually. So I welcome you here, all of you, and thank you for accepting our invitation to come to Trumau, to come to this beautiful place, and to speak with us these 2 days about the Family Synod. You are here in a beautiful chapel, in fact. And some of you might wonder, why do we have a conference in the chapel? Well, first of all, the chapel has not yet been consecrated. This will happen on the 30th of September of this year. So that's already your next invitation to come here. And since we are currently directly above, in the midst of the process of renovating an auditorium, which will be blessed on the 1st of October, that's your other invitation, we, with this large conference, had no other option than to have the conference in this chapel. And what more beautiful place than to have it here, being inspired by the iconography that was painted by one of our own graduates over the past years as we've been constructing this chapel. For your information, the room in which you are used to be the garbage room and the garage. And thanks to the work of many of our students, thanks to the generosity, especially of Alan and Ratwan Riley, board members, Alan passed away last year, this chapel was constructed. And it's really something unique in the whole of Europe. Because if you look, for example, at the mosaic floor, this mosaic floor is hand-laid, and a team of experts led by one of our students, André, who has also been working very hard in preparing this conference, did the mosaic floor. Brother Yunus Gotsia did the iconography. If you are interested in knowing more about this Byzantine chapel, we have put at the registration desk, there's a table with information material, and there's a little booklet that describes in detail the Byzantine chapel and the iconography. So I really invite you to, during these 2 days, take some time to take some time to study these very, very beautiful iconography that is all around you. I also want to extend a special welcome as I go into the introduction to the conference theme to one of our speakers. And that speaker is my father, who is here amongst us. And I do that because we are speaking here about marriage and the family. And if it were not for the love, the dedication, and the faithfulness of my father and mother, I would not be standing here today. So that is why I especially want to welcome you, Daddy, amongst us. I am privileged for all I have received from my parents and from my siblings. One of my sisters is here today too. Some of my nieces are here today. And what a joy at such a conference to be able to share that with you. Why this symposium? And for that, I have an image. Do you see this drawing? I have the original here. And I'm very grateful that my wife is here today. She came to greet me. Where are you, Paola? She's behind there. My wife came here this morning as a surprise for me with our youngest to greet me, and I'm very happy that my wife can see this, because this is a drawing on the back of which is a note from my wife that I got about 2 years ago from our daughter, Kale Sofia, who's the second of our five children. And you might wonder why start a conference like this with grand theological themes with such a drawing. Why this image? What does it say? What does this image say? This image says something very important. It says what marriage means for a child. This was drawn by our daughter 2 years ago, and if you carefully study this drawing, you see my wife and I. It's actually a pretty good picture because at that time I think Paola had a little bit longer hair. We are holding hands, and there are many hearts on the picture, and there are many flowers there. And this is a way of a child expressing what a child feels when the parents love each other, and what this means for a child that the parents love each other. And I present you this drawing as I was preparing this conference and the introductory remarks. I present you this drawing because at the beginning of this conference, I would like to focus our minds on where this is all about. And I think that is described very well in this drawing. What does marriage mean for a child? And I think we have to move the debate around the theme of marriage and the family away from the obsession with our adult problems and issues, and focus on what marriage and sexuality is actually meant for, to create loving families that are open to life, that are faithful, and that are willing to be schools of humanity. These are the words of St. John Paul II, schools of humanity. And I think that a drawing like this reminds us of that. And if this becomes our focus, these points that I just mentioned, if this becomes our focus, all the other issues will find their proper place and answer. Because then we find solutions for the problems of our times in that light. And my wife always says, the greatest gift for the child is the tangible love of its parents, the visible love of its parents. And it is this love and all the good that flows from that, even if we parents are imperfect, we make many mistakes, we are often broken ourselves, but still the love that we give to our parents forms them and prepares the child for the world where the child needs to take responsibility. And I want to illustrate this point to you with some examples from my own life. And I hope my father will not be embarrassed when I do that. I want to give you four examples. Four examples that defined me as a child. Until the day of today, I remember visually the daily hugs of my parents. My parents have never until today been afraid to show their love. And the hug of my parents in the kitchen or somewhere else in the house, until the day of today, that's an image that is projected in my mind. And it's an image that gives a child security, because he knows the foundation on which this family rests is solid. I am fine. I am in good hands. The other one is a very nice one. And I have to say, I'm not as good at it as my father is, and that is the daily phone call from my father from the office to my mother. I remember as a child being at home, and the phone would ring, and my mother would lighten up and say, "Oh, it's Daddy calling," and she would run to the phone, she would drop everything from her hands. This was another of those beautiful moments that stay in your mind. A third example is something that my mother also did and taught us as children, and that is a beautiful thing that I've been gifted with by my wife and children at home too, and that is the moment I come back from work, and the same happened with my father, the the moment on the day that my father came back from work, my mother ran to the door, and we children followed her. Daddy is there, Daddy is there. It's these signs of love between the parents that are so essential. And the fourth and last example I would like to give is the tradition of my father regularly buying an orchid for my mother. My mother loves orchids. It's her favorite flower. There were those days, you sort of felt the tension in the air. My father came home with an orchid. This beautiful orchid came home, and this was always a radiant moment for my mother. So those are just examples I want to share with you, not in an academic, theoretical way, but simply out of the life of somebody who was one day also a child and for whom this visible love of the parents is so essential. So what does this require from us? And I move to the next slide. This is Saint Thérèse of Lisieux. She's the patron saint of the International Theological Institute. And here at the ITI, we have a great love for her. And Saint Thérèse says this, and it's quoted here, "To love is to give everything, including oneself." And my wife has this little note hanging in the kitchen on the bulletin board. And I very often look at it because it's a tall order. It's something very difficult. It's something we have to struggle with every day. To love is to give everything, including oneself. But it is what Jesus did through the cross and through the resurrection. Dying unto oneself. And I think this is all of us who are married, I think we all know that what that means. To love is to give everything, including oneself, and also dying to oneself. And in that regard, the words of Pope Francis that he spoke some time ago during one of the audiences, especially for couples, he spoke those famous words, the three most important words in a marriage. Please, thank you, and forgive me. I think about that often in the daily realities of life and experience how important it is with our daily lives as married couples and as families to practice this and how difficult this can be. And Pope Francis is so wise by saying that. Please, thank you, and forgive me. And it fits in so well with the holy year of mercy that we are in, because that above all is mercy, to say please, to say thank you, and to say forgive me. And again, this is what should be visible, this visible love of the parents for the children and the world around them. And there's a third aspect, what this requires from us. And there I would like to make a special reference to the faithfulness of the persecuted church. Because the faithfulness of the persecuted Christians that are currently being so terribly persecuted, especially in the Middle East, but also in Asia and Africa, those fellow Christians persecuted for their faith in Jesus Christ can teach us something that is so essential when we talk about marriage and the family. Because they show us what faithfulness until death do us part actually means. The stories that come out, especially of the Middle East, of what is happening to Christians there, stories that are too horrible to repeat, and the stories, the witnesses that come out of there from martyrs who have stayed faithful to Christ literally until their deaths. And I think this faithfulness until death is something that we can really learn from when we speak about marriage and the family. And this is also the reason why the two first speakers today are those who can relate to that in a very specific way. One of them is Bishop Kuciak, who comes from a church that has been terribly persecuted under communism. And we have Mrs. Kueri, you're already there, welcome, who comes from Lebanon and can speak about the persecution of the church in the Middle East. So what do we want to achieve with the symposium? And for that, I have a picture of the three popes. The three most recent popes. Because they show a certain continuity that we will be studying during this symposium. A continuity of the magisterium. An ever deeper understanding of it, which, however, at times can be painful and a confronting process. And we will certainly experience that during these days. But the beautiful thing about the magisterium is, as Pope Francis tells us, it is not a museum piece that we look at, but it is a living word in which especially the popes are meant to bring us ever closer to the truth that is Christ and to the understanding what it means to be human. To the understanding what it means to be human. That is key. As St. John Paul II said, without Christ, we cannot understand man. And without understanding man, we cannot understand marriage and the family. So this symposium, in a humble way, tries to contribute to this understanding in order that we are better capable, in the reality of daily life, to reinvigorate the sacrament of marriage and the Christian family today. And I would like to conclude my introductory remarks with some words of St. Paul, who very clearly shows us what it is to achieve this goal. He says in the letter to the Ephesians, I, a prisoner of the Lord, urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, lifting one another up through love. The Greek words for that is avneko menoi, which is the original Greek, and it means one who lifts up. One who lifts up. We have to lift one another up. And this is our task, to lift up sacramental marriage and the Christian family, especially in this world of today that is so violently going against the sacrament of marriage and the Christian family. We have to lift up sacramental marriage and the family, above all, first each other in marriage, through the lives we live in the families, and in words and deeds. Avneko menoi, one who lifts up, lifting one another up. That is what we hope to achieve those 2 days.